Dass wir eine kurze Stoßlüftung nehmen.
Kannst du mir das?
Ja, so, ja, so, sonst verstehe ich. Damit und Herren, du bist unser Lüftungsbeauftragter. Let me first of all greet my international audience on the internet. Hare Krishna, I'm very happy that you are. That this is possible to have a broadcast of the lecture for all of you who are not here in this room. I will speak in English, but I will just address my German-speaking audience for a moment and then switch into English in a second. Ich möchte mich auch ganz herzlich Ich möchte euch ganz herzlich begrüßen, die ihr gekommen seid. Ich habe gehört, dass ich einen Bekannten, den ich vor 30 Jahren aus den Augen verloren habe, heute das erste Mal wiedersehe, den Michael mit ergrautem Bart inzwischen.
Was?
Bei mir ist das auch so. Und ich freue mich auch sehr, dass ein Devotee, für den ich schon seit einiger Zeit etwas ein Geschenk im Herzen trage, gekommen ist und auch sonst, dass ihr da seid. Wenn man so in Vrindavan ist und sagen wir mal, ja, unter dem Phänomen des eingefangenen Herzens, ich hätte fast gesagt, leidet. Also man ist dann so ganz auf Vrindavan bezogen, dann stellt sich natürlich die Frage, warum kommt man in den Westen zurück? Und da gibt es eine vage Antwort und eine konkrete Antwort. Die vage ist, ja, ich möchte die ganz vielen mir noch nicht bekannten Leute erreichen. Das ist etwas vage, weil man eben noch nicht konkrete Beziehungen zu diesen Menschen hat. Und die konkrete Antwort auf die Frage für das eingefangene Herz, warum befreist du dich von Vrindavan und gehst in den Westen zurück? Die Antwort ist, ja, weil du einige Devotees kennst, mit denen du die Welt aus den Angeln heben möchtest oder jedenfalls so ein bisschen in die Richtung denken möchtest. Und ich bin deswegen sehr froh, hier in Deutschland zu sein, mit zugegebenermaßen einem gewissen Trennungsschmerz. Gut, Hare Krishna. Let me now switch into the English language again. Today, our Gaura Lila, verstehst du, Michael?
Ah, nicht so gut, weil. Aber ich gebe mir Mühe.
Ja. Oder was, wenn wir dir eine Übersetzung anbieten? Ja? Wer macht das?
Shyam.
Shyam, ja. Vielleicht dort hinten in dem hinteren Sprachraum. The subject of today's Gaura Lila evening is Narahari Shaka Thakur. He's one of the associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and I think you have heard his name, no? You have sung his name this evening. Nala Hari Ari Gauri Chamara Dulaya. Every evening when you sing the Aarti, you sing his name. Do you know who he is? Do you know his glories? Have you ever thought it's a good idea to find out whose name you are singing? Most probably not, because you are practicing mechanistically your spiritual life. But it is very important to know whose name you sing, in case someone asked you, or in case you want to know. I wanted to find out about Narahari Sakatagu since a long, long time, but I must admit I didn't find reliable informations. I found something here, I found something there, until yesterday, when I listened to a very nice presentation of one of my god brothers on him, and then I listened, put a few things which I had researched together, and am now very happy to tell you about this most important, or let me say, most extraordinary personality. I think as you will listen, you will feel bliss rising in your heart, because he's truly extraordinary. I will talk a little, and I will give you a sign when we will sing. There's a lot of story towards the end, but in the beginning there's no information. Narahari Saku, Narahari Sakataku, is one of the very close associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And we hear, whenever we want to discuss the Lord, our discussion is only complete when we also discuss his devotees, because it is in the association of the Lord's devotees that his special qualities shine forth. I think this should be easy to understand from our own experience. If I meet someone, he might be a little formal because I don't yet know him. But if that same person is together with his good friend or his relatives or his own children, he will no longer act in a reserved way, but we will be able to see how he really is, what he thinks, because he may not let those who are distant from him know about these things, but those who are close to him, he will be very comfortable to reveal all the various aspects of his personality. So if we want to understand the Lord without his devotees, we will have a very limited picture of him. But the moment we understand how the Lord relates to his with his associates, how he jokes with them, how he plays with them, how he reveals his confidential thoughts to them, we enter into the secret of his understanding. So I would like in my Gaura Lila evening to give a complete picture of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, and that's only possible if you speak about the Lord and his devotees, and in particular his relationships with the devotees. So this great soul was born in a village called Shrikanda, a village which was full with devotees of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu once commented that this village of Shrikanda is so special because everyone is a devotee in there, that he personally pays his obeisances even to a dog in the village, because there he is, the dog is most probably a dog of a devotee. Is a devotee dog, a very special personality. The Narahari Thakur sagt, the people who lived in this village were people like Mukunda, Raghunandan, Chiranjeev, Sulochan, Sri Ramachandra, Kaviraj, and all of them were known for not only cultivating Krishna consciousness, but they were known for distributing the fruits and flowers of Krishna consciousness. Some of them were great kirtan singers. Some of them were great, great preachers. I know that Ramachandra Kaviraj was so exalted that he would travel in his spiritual body into the spiritual world and return. Once his Srinivas Acharya had been in his spiritual form as a manjari, engaged in finding a lost toe ring of Srimati Radharani, and he couldn't find the toe ring. So while he was in his meditation here on the planet Earth, he was desperately searching in his spiritual body for that ring, because Radharani was just finishing her bath with Krishna. And if she would come home without that toe ring, her elders would suspect her of being absent from home and engaging in romantic affairs with Krishna. So Srinivas Acharya was searching and searching, and therefore delayed his return to planet Earth into the body, which was waiting there like a car or something. So then this Ramachandra Kaviraj was informed by the disciples of Srinivas Acharya. The disciples said, "We are desperate. Srinivas Acharya is gone, and we don't know if he returns. Where is he?" So Ramachandra sat next to him, pronounced the sacred mantras, focused his mind on the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, and appeared there in his own spiritual body. When he saw Muni Manjari, that is the Manjari identity of Srinivas Acharya, searching for the lost ring, he helped and finally was able to locate the ring next to a lotus flower, and delivered the ring to Muni Manjari, who then delivered it to Srimati Radharani. So I'm just giving you a little taste of what type of personalities we are dealing here. They are not like your neighbor from Neuruppin, who can only travel in his mind by the help of TV to Thailand or wherever. But we are talking about perfected souls who leave their body at will and enter and exit the spiritual world because they are in their It's called Siddhadeyas, the perfected spiritual body. So, this Narahari Sakatakur was born in the family of Vaidyas. His father was Narayan and his mother Srimati Goi, and he had two brothers. One is very famous, Mukunda, the physician, and Madhava. Once his brother Mukunda was called to diagnose the Muslim ruler, Hussein Shah, and he diagnosed him for some illness. All of a sudden, he saw how a servant arrived and fanned the ruler with a peacock fan. And when he saw the peacock feathers, he was at once reminded on the peacock feather, which Krishna tucks into the top knot of his hair and which quivers in the soft breeze. And as he was reminded on Krishna, he fainted with deep feelings of overwhelming love and fell on the ground. And the Muslim ruler asked, what's wrong? So the servant who had come with Mukunda said, nothing, a small case of epilepsy is, don't worry, and he will soon come back. So this is the type of great devotees. When his father Narayan passed away, his brother Mukunda, this doctor, took charge of the family and arranged that Narahari would continue his education in Navadvip. And there in Navadvip, Narahari, who had written already many poems, learned two subjects, singing and dancing. Have you ever considered to learn singing and dancing? It's a wonderful subject to learn. It is a through song you can express so many things, and through dancing as well. And he also took a Sanskrit education, but music and dance was his specialty. He wrote many songs about the Vrindavan pastimes of Radha and Govinda. Now one day he met the great devotee Gadadha Pandit. And Gadadha Pandit said, Narahari, you are a great devotee, but unless and until you meet Gauranga Mahaprabhu, your bhakti will be theoretical. It will lack that special empowerment which the Lord can give. So in this way, he got the association through Gadadha of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And you must know one thing, at that time, all the associates of Gauranga Mahaprabhu always got also a personal service to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. No one related to Gauranga Mahaprabhu without a service. They all had very particular services which were in some cases given to them by the already existing service servants. And this Narahari Sakatakur got a very special service. Can any one of you tell me what that is? It's in the song which you sing at least once a week, where you have not yet figured it out. Clemens knows, and Gadara knows. They were fanning the Lord. The service of fanning with a chamara is a very treasured service, because anyone who does this service is always very close to the Lord. There are many great devotees who are known for their fanning service. All these services may seem to be insignificant from our perspective. They were not driving a car, a service, or they're not, I don't know. But the best service is that service which brings you into the close vicinity of the Lord. And in fact, one of the etymological meanings of seva is to come close to. If you have a service, then you have a chance to come close. If you don't have a service, or you despise of a service, despise that you don't like it because you think I don't have the time, you are saying in effect, I don't have the time to come close. Service is the only way to approach a transcendental personality. In fact, the Lord can only be known by devotional service, not by psychological analysis, for instance. Or I'm just saying something which we might use in order to get to know someone. The Lord reveals himself only when he sees that there is a service attitude in one of his devotees. Govinda Das cooked and served prasadam, and Kashishvara, for instance, had the service to clear the crowds. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dancing, there was always so many people who were coming around him and storming on him, that there needed to be a very strong person with strong arms who could clear the crowds and keep them at bay. That was Kashishvara. Bhaktivinoda Thakur praises him. Now, all the associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu have double identities. That means a spiritual identity in which they relate to Radha and Krishna. And Narahari Sakatakur is in the spiritual world a very intimate girlfriend of Srimati Radharani called Madhu Mati. Madhu means honey, and Mati means an inner disposition. So she was a very sweet girl. So once the great soul Nityananda Prabhu came to Srikant, and there on the road he met Narahari Sakatakur. And he said, "Come on, Narahari, where's the honey? We know who you are. You are known to serve honey in this world to world." And as Narahari heard this request, he picked up a little pot and went to the nearby pond. And as everyone watched, he took his pot into the pukur, or the pond. And as he took the pot out of the pond, it was filled with honey. Since that time, that pond is known as Madhupushkarini. And devotees go there, drink the water, and hope that it might transform into honey. But it is not known, because only Narahari Sakatakur can do this. Once, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "I will soon leave this planet, and my devotees will suffer in my absence. Narahari, I wish that you carve a deity to my likeness and then install it in three places." One of them was Shrikanda. When Mahaprabhu left the planet, Narahari also accepted disciples. But just before Gauranga Mahaprabhu left, he had a last meeting with Narahari in Puri. And he said, "I give you one instruction, one very personal instruction. And it is this instruction which Narahari Thakur kept for the rest of his life. It's this instruction which also gave birth to this wonderful book, which is written by another Narahari, Narahari Chakravarti." Gauranga Mahaprabhu said to his dear devotee, "Always and under all circumstances, stay in the association of devotees." Always stay in the association of devotees. Somehow or other, I have thought deeply about this instruction. Like many of you, I have also come to the point in my life where I realized that it is very important to be self-motivated in what one does. In the beginning of spiritual life, the closed and protected environment of an ashram, where there is a lot of influence from others who practice, is very, very, very necessary. Only in that new environment is it possible to detach ourselves from harmful habits. Only with this influence do we stand a chance to start a new life. But there comes a time for every devotee where he has to practice on his own and no longer rely on only association. It's almost like your own children. Now, where they are with you, they adopt all the activities which you do. They eat vegetarian. They sing spiritual songs. They have spiritual names and address themselves by these names. They are attending the temple. They may see their parents praying to the deities, and they also do this. But there comes a time when the child will necessarily ask himself, what do I want to do? What is my approach to Krishna consciousness? I have been invited by many Gurukul children as an honorary 60-year-old member. And I have seen this many times, that there comes a time in these young people, our children, where they want to make independent decisions, because they need to feel themselves, they need to feel their breath, their thoughts, their decisions, and so on. It is sometimes painful for parents to see that, especially when the child says, yes, this is your way of life, I have a different one. That might happen. So in spiritual life, we grown-up people have also a similar phase, where we need to find out, what is my own approach to Krishna consciousness? What will I do when everyone is not telling me what to do any longer? What will I do when I have also the expectations of others no longer in my life? No? What will I do self-motivated? So that is a normal phase. It's a good phase. It's necessary. But then, when you have gone through the phase, you will also need to see where is association which can help me develop, which can give positive impulses, which can inspire me. That is also part of human existence. And at that time, I have gone through these phases. It's very important, so important that it's something to even pray for, to find good association which can inspire me, which can carry me, and more than anything, which can nourish my spiritual life. It's so important that devotees like His Holiness Gaur Govinda Maharaj have ended each day with the prayer to Gopal, Gopal, give me good Vaishnava association. You see this prayer in all great souls. Even the creator of the universe, Lord Brahma, prays to be born in Vrindavan, where the dear associates of Krishna are, so that he can profit, benefit, and be empowered by their divine association. It's very important. Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami says, association is the mula. Mula means root of your spiritual advancement. It's so important. And you can make a test of this. You can see how you feel when you meet that devotee or that group of devotees who can really inspire you. So while it is important to come to no longer just only act due to what is called in English peer pressure or group pressure, no, it's important. You need to serve Krishna on your own. You need to give him your love. You need to find your devotional expression. It's very important. While that is important, it is also important to remain connected to the root of spiritual advancement, the Vaishnava Sangha. And Gauranga Mahaprabhu thought that this was so important that he gave that personal instruction to Narahari Sakatakur, who was intimate. I mean, he was always there with his fan, you know, he was close by. I'm reminded of, you know, when after the Lanka episode, where Hanuman was able to bring Sita and Ram together, afterwards Hanuman came back to Ayodhya, and he saw all the services to Lord Ram were taken up by various devotees, and he was the main servant of Lord Ram in this Ram Leela. You know how he carried Ram, how he battled for Ram, how he searched and found Sita for Ram, etc. So he felt very morose. He was just sitting there and he had no service. So one day he asked Lakshman, I'm going crazy. I have no service to my beloved Lord. Is there anything I can do? So Ram was thinking and thinking and thinking. And after a day or so, after some time, he found a service. He said, every service is already taken up, but whenever he yawns, whenever again, then you can snap with your finger before the mouth of Ram. This is done. You might ask, what is the benefit of this? Well, when you yawn, it can happen that an evil spirit enters you. Some of you smile, but some of you have dreamt, have slept and felt some ghost leg entering. Yes, especially those of us who Hare Krishna. So I also have often ghost trouble. So it's done in the Vedic civilization that there is no fear of this, that you make a sound which is a sound wall before the open mouth. So that's why you click with the finger. Anyway, so that was Hanuman's service, and he did it very, very, very energetically and very reliably. Sehr zuverlässig. Narahari had one very famous servant or a disciple. Does anyone remember? I can help you. Who's the author of Chaitanya Mangala? Lochandas Thakur was his disciple. And Lochand once wrote something very nice about Narahari, which gives you a little idea who he was. My Thakur, he wrote, is Sri Narahari Sakatakur, who's very influential amongst the Vaishnavas. He's constantly absorbed in Krishna Prema, and he knows nothing except for Lord Krishna. To his followers, my Prabhu only speaks about Krishna. In Vrindavan, he was previously known as Madhumati and was a storehouse of sweetness and very dear to Srimati Radharani. Now, in this present Kali Yuga, he is with Gauranga Mahaprabhu, and he is the storehouse of love of God which resides in his heart. This is what Lochandas Thakur wrote. Narahari Thakur is the author of various books. This might be interesting for those of you who like to read Vaishnav literature. One is Sri Krishna Bhajanamrita, where you hear a detailed analysis how to worship Guru, Gauranga and Krishna. He wrote a song collection called Pada Kalpataru. He wrote a book on Bhakti Sadacha, that means how to act in Bhakti. He was so much in love with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that he wrote a work called Sri Chaitanya Sahasranam, with the 1,000 names of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then he became so ecstatic that he wrote another book called Sri Radha Sahasranam, 1,000 names of Radha. This must be a great lover. You know, like when you like someone, you give him many names. I know that Gadadhar gives his calls his son Nimai, but in special circumstances also Nilko. So various names are given out of affection and love. That's normal. So I also give various names to devotees who are not annoyed when they are given various different names. It's out of affection. So he had 1,000 names for both Gauranga Mahaprabhu and Radha. And he wrote a Sri Sachinandana Ashtakam. Now, Narahari Sakatakur was so close to Gauranga Mahaprabhu that he had a privilege which none of the other associates had. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu never liked if some of his associates would glorify him, especially not when they would glorify him telling him that he is God. There's an episode in Chaitanya Bhagavat where Advaita Acharya one morning assembles a Sankirtan party around him and said, "Today we will not sing the Hare Krishna Mahamantra and also not other names of Krishna. Today we will sing the names of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu." So they developed a kirtan, something with Gaurahari, it ends with Gaurahari, and they went with a large group of devotees through Puri. With vompas. It was very loud, and Mahaprabhu came out of his out of the Gambira and said, "What is this noise and why are you not chanting the names of Krishna?" And then Srivast Thakur made a gesture like this. Gauranga Mahaprabhu said, "What do you want to express with your rätselhafte gesture, with your enigmatic gesture?" And Srivast Thakur, "Can someone cover the sun with the hand?" "No." In the same way, is it possible to cover the fact that you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead? No. And that's why we sing your names today in Jeddah. When Mahaprabhu heard this, he became silent and he went back into his Gambira and he took a long rest. "What can I do with my devotees?" He felt like this. So Narahari Das Thakur, Narahari Sakatakur, was an exception to this rule. He would sing, because he, remember, he studied music and dance, and he would sing in the personal presence of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, and because he sang so beautifully, Gauranga Mahaprabhu tolerated this. Can I tell you one of the songs of Narahari Das Thakur? Mm. This was written in the mood of separation after Gauranga Mahaprabhu had left the planet. If only Lord Gauranga would come back to Navadvip, my mind would be filled with joy again. Then I would be able to see him performing his ecstatic kirtan pastimes. Oh Hari, when will I again see his moon-like face and gaze at him? When will the day come when the ocean of his separation, which is damped by time, will be over? When will the dam break? And when will my heart be flooded with the darshan of Lord Gaura? When will I see the golden form of Gauranga wrapped in a yakya pavitra, Brahman thread, we say? Lifting my arms in the air, I will shout, Hari Hari!
Hari Hari!
And I will dance in the midst of him and his devotees. When I speak about these things, when I asked, when will Gauranga come, many of the dear devotees of Gauranga close their eyes and see how the Lord appears in a sweet remembrance on the canvas of their mind. Just see the poetry. When will the desire of Naraharidas Thakur be fulfilled? And when will he see the form of the young Gauranga? Shortly after Gauranga Mahaprabhu had disappeared, the great devotee who had introduced Narahari Sakataku to Gauranga Mahaprabhu also disappeared. Do you remember his name, the great devotee who had disappeared, who had introduced Narahari Sakataku? Gadadha Pandit. He disappeared. When Mahaprabhu had left, Gadadha Pandit withered away. He would read every day the Bhagavatam to Gauranga Mahaprabhu whilst the Lord was present. But when the Lord disappeared, Gadadha Pandit continued with this practice. However, soon his Bhagavatam also left the body. Because you must know that the Bhagavatam was written on palm leaves with ink made from natural substances, flowers to be correct, to be precise. And Gadadha had cried so much that all the letters had been washed from the palm leaves. And very soon No, Gadadhar was kept alive by just worshipping Tota Gopinath. But he had become so old that this wonderful deity was obliged to no longer stand but sit. If you come to Puri, you can see this marble deity sitting cross-legged. Why had he changed his position? Because Gadara was too old and too bent with grief to put the garlands up around him. It's a wonder, a miracle. It's there for you to see. You just have to give a little donation of 10 rupees. Then they remove the dhoti and you can see the position of the knees. So, when Gadadhar Pandit, this jewel amongst the devotees, could not tolerate the separation from Gauranga any longer, he just left one day. And after the disappearance of Gadadhar, Narahari Sakatakur became so emaciated, abgemagert, that he did not speak a word to anyone. He was so weak. Then suddenly, one day, unannounced, he left. It was a great shock for the Vaishnav community. And the son of his brother, Sri Raghunandan, was arranging his funeral. Funeral is cremation, right? No, it was not a burial, it was more a cremation. And I would like to read to you from this work about the devotees of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, about this the festival which was done in commemoration of the disappearance of Narahari Sakatakur. Because when you hear this festival, you will know how the devotees of Gauranga Mahaprabhu conducted themselves. You will. It's almost like I feel like entering into the sangha of the devotees. Are you ready to listen?
Yes.
Dobro. So he's from Shrikanda, and the ceremony takes place in Shrikanda. Krishna Hare Hare. This is a typical melody which they sing. At least it has the elements. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare
Hare Krishna.
it was announced in the village of Shrikanda that Raghunandan, the great soul, would conduct a festival celebrating the disappearance of Narahari Saka Thakur. 4 days before the beginning of the festival, Raghunandan arrived with the beloved devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. People from outside of Shrikanda had heard about it and joined the residents of Shrikanda. All together, they put festoons, also kleine Flaggen, banners, banana trees, clay pots filled with water, and other decorations from auspicious rice. They put it all over the village. It was decided that as an inauguration, or let me say, an auspicious beginning of the festival, Srinivas Acharya would recite verses from the Bhagavatam and explain them. By the way, that is a great, great feature of Chaitanya Bhakti. You will always find two elements there: Bhagavatam and Harinam Sankirtan. So Raghunandan was very happy with the decision, because Srinivas Acharya could recite the Bhagavatam in such a way that even stones would melt. When he would talk about the wonderful qualities and forms of Krishna, even, you know, things were happening. Like once he gave a lecture and a king was present. So when so the king, maybe because of different difficult managerial task, nodded off, as if a bisschen eingenickt. Srinivas Acharya rose from his seat and gave him a slap. Now, you don't do this to a king. Kings are training the tigers, living tigers, to fight. They are very passionate. And they are very, very vain. Vain heißt eitel. If you hurt them, it's more they react more strongly than people from Persia or Arabia or, you know, countries where the blood is a little hot. It's really not good to mess around with the king. So the king got up and he looked at the Bhagavatam reciter who had slapped him. And then the Brahmana said, "Be happy that you are slapped by the lotus hand of Srinivas Acharya, and he has indicated to you that it is disrespectful to sleep while the Bhagavatam is recited, because that's the glorification of Krishna, the highest king. How can you show indifference towards Krishna, Gleichgültigkeit?" So this was the quality of Srinivas Acharya. Raghunandan affectionately took him by the hand and escorted him to the seat of the Bhagavatam speaker. Then Srinivas Acharya looked around. He felt very blessed to speak before these devotees, and he paid his obeisances to his audience first. And then he did not just start to read. He first offered flowers, then sandalwood paste, and then some. He stuck the flowers with the sandalwood paste on the Bhagavatam as a means of showing reverence and worship. He began his recitation and he sang all the verses with a sweet voice, the voice of a cuckoo which had been fed with fresh mango buds. It's in the springtime. You might have seen even in Germany the cuckoos sounding sweeter in the springtime. If you listen very carefully, you will see. The entire audience became enchanted by his recitation. Srinivas himself became so absorbed in the bhava of the Bhagavatam that he cried at times when he recited. He recited the verses describing the rasa dance, and he and his audience became very happy. Time passed unnoticed, and soon the day turned into night. Then Srinivas Acharya looked around. It was night. He paid his obeisances to the book from morning to evening. And then he, in a most humble manner, got up and paid his dandavat to the associates of Mahaprabhu, who were all sitting there. We will end by reading a little bit more. The devotees were very thankful to Srinivas Acharya. It is said the greatest welfare worker in this world is someone who tells us about Krishna, even if we fall asleep or are distracted. Still, the welfare work is going on. They said, by your mercy, Srinivas Acharya, the living entities will get relief from all their material miseries. So then it was time for Sangitan. Some of us are making Kirtan Melas and so on. It's a good way how to learn here. Raghunandan brought the medanga out, the karatas and other musical instruments, and then all the devotees worshipped these instruments before they started. Then there was a Sandhya Arati. And then the Sankirtan began in all earnestness. Everything started, and I think we should introduce this by offering garlands to the different devotees. Each devotee was worshipped. That's part of the Gauranga culture. Worship the devotees. There were two sons of Advaita Acharya there, Krishna Mishra and Sri Gopal, and they were worshipped. Then Sri Virabhadra or Virachandra was worshipped, and then Virabhadra's thought, what's with Raghunandan? He gestured as Srinivas. Srinivas gave garlands and sandalwood, and then Virachandra smeared the sandalwood on Raghunandan. Everyone was worshipped. Then the leading devotees began to play various instruments, and then hundreds of lamps were ignited, and all the devotees roared, "Wow!" And the light spread, and then the Sankirtan made such an enlivening and transcendental atmosphere. It's interesting that the lead singers in that Sankirtan would not just sing Hare Krishna, but they all had special kirtan songs which they sang. I find this significant because This is done in Vaishnava culture, that the Lord's many names are praised. And they were introducing different songs. There were Akirtan songs, like, for instance, Hari Haraye Nama. The first four lines, which describe different aspects of Krishna. And it is said, the devotees forgot their individual existence. They chanted and danced madly in a kirtan, and they enchanted the whole universe. How, my dear devotees, is it possible to describe the dancing of Virachandra? He was dancing so much that those who saw him forgot all miseries. There was one blind man who sat at the edge of the kirtan, physically blind, blind since birth. And one said to him, describe the dance of Virachandra to him. He's dancing now like this, now like that, and so on. So this blind man thought Vira means a strong hero and Bhadra means auspiciousness. So Vira Bhadra can certainly cure my blindness. So he cried so loud to Virachandra, give me eyes, I only want to see you dancing once with my eyes. That Nityananda Nandana, that is the name of Virachandra, another name, became mercifully inclined and glanced with his powerful glance at the blind man, and immediately the blindness went away. Would you like that Nityananda Nandana looks at you and cures you from your spiritual blindness? That would be good, no? And the blind man's vision was restored. He became mad with joy and he glorified the mercy of Virachandra. In this way, the night was spent. The devotees called out the names of Lord Chaitanya and his intimate associates. Nityananda Ram! Sri Advaita Acharya! Sri Gadadhar Pandit! Haridas Thakur! Shivas! Swarup Damodar! Ramananda Roy! And finally, with tears in their eyes, they called out, Narahari Shankar Thakur! And finally, they just said, it's only this much time which has gone after Mahaprabhu has left. So they called out and requested, Mahaprabhu, appear, appear again in our midst. And because Mahaprabhu could not ignore the requests of his devotees, he appeared before the vision of one and all, and they were so moved that they rolled in the dust of Sri Kanda. In the morning, they did the Mangal Aarti of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The next day, Raghunandan went into the personal room of Narahari Shankar Thakur. His eyes were blind with tears. When he put down the plate of prasadam, or of bhoga, to be offered to the departed soul, he prayed, may you never be separated from me. And when he left the room, so that the offering could go on undisturbed. Before he closed the door, Narahari Sakur sat there and ate the prasada. This is how this katha is ending. Bhakti, my dear devotees, is not an external affair. It's a matter of the heart. It is known already in world literature. There's a verse which you have heard. The important things cannot be seen through the eyes. They are visible only through the eyes of the heart. You must know this literally. So in bhakti we learn of Premanjana, the eyes which are smeared with love, which then can see all the transcendental truths. Bhakti remains a mystery for those who look with an analytical brain. But the mystery of bhakti is a felt experience by those who look with the eyes of the purified heart. By listening to the associates of Gauranga Mahaprabhu and feeling and seeing how they act, we hope that some, by their mercy, some of the bhakti will enter our heart and transform it in various ways. I want to end now by just singing one more time with you for 5 minutes.
Thank you.
Krishna, I would like to now end this Gaura Lila evening. We are a little bit over time. I thank you very much for attending this. I would again like to draw your attention to this personal instruction which Gauranga Mahaprabhu gave to our Narahari Sakatakur. The instruction was always stay in the association of devotees. I think it is not so easy instruction, because in good devotee association you have to confront your ego. Or the association will not be so good. The devotee Arthur Schopenhauer once remarked something very relevant for us Westerners. He said, human beings are a little bit like porcupines, Stachelschweine. When they feel it's cold, they come together. But when they are together, they pinprick each other. Wenn es kalt wird, dann kommen die zusammen, aber wenn sie zusammen sind, dann stören sie sich mit ihren Stacheln. These unbecoming things in us are all growing from the false ego, and we will have to learn to confront and purify our ego in the association of devotees. We should not run away from the Sangha, and then when it gets cold again we are back. We should try to see that the Sangha becomes pleasant. But what I have seen is when you expect things from others which you really have to do in your own life, your expectations are likely to be disappointed. I think the best advice for good devotee association is try to bring yourself to a level of Krishna consciousness and then emanate that to others and help. I want to end here. Thank you all very much, and Hare Krishna, and see you at the next Gaura Lila evening. Hari Bol.